on Breakfast with Vossie, a sports update with Michelle Bishop.
Yeah, I know Alana's done a great job. 24 hours into one of the most sought-after jobs in Sydney radio. Kenno Tyre makes your job easy. Call your local branch today. Channel 7's Michelle Bishop. Are you up for the Ken Oath this morning?
I'm in. Ready to go.
I think your answer's meant to be Ken Oath, and that's all you say.
Ken Oath.
All right, it's a little scratchy, the line, but your reaction to the AFL-NRL vaccination news. What's your thoughts? Do the NRL... Is it a must that the NRL follow suit with the AFL?
I'm staggered that in this environment we've got two supposedly strong codes working in opposite directions. I mean, we're at the moment, just in this environment, Vossie, we can't even go to Kmart or Walmart in America, if you like, to get socks and undies unless you're vaccinated. So the AFL obviously announced yesterday that contracted players and staff won't be able to participate in the AFL or the AFLW competition in 2022 unless, of course, they are vaccinated. That sort of means a whole load of things. They must be double vaccinated by November 26. So if a player sticks their hand up and says, okay, well, I'm not double vaccinated, that they won't even be, they'll be placed on an inactive list. They won't be able to train. They won't be able to play. And look, it could get as serious as them basically being sacked. So those based in New South Wales and other states will have to be vaccinated by December 17. In the AFL, that W doesn't start until January 6. So that rule there is December 12 for all of those women. But
you're saying that just brought me into something. If you know the precinct around the old Sydney Football Stadium, and the Swans base was next door to the Roosters base, like they're next door. So we could potentially have a situation where the Roosters operating in the same space, precinct, the same area. Totally different set of rules there. You could potentially have unvaccinated. We are only talking, I think, the NRL from Andrew Abdo's grab that we played earlier. I just think they're hopeful that they will get to as high as 98 or 99% of players, and they'll only have to deal with a handful or more, and then they'll cross the bridge.
That's what I sort of gleaned out of that. I think at the moment they're saying that they're working on the policies. They need to do everything to create a safe working environment. But I think the NRL is waiting for the decision to kind of be taken out of their hands as well.
That's right. Being the good
cop, if you like, and letting the public health orders take care of doing all the heavy lifting. There will be ramifications, though, for those they say that aren't jabbed. They'll have to have a different set of rules. But as you say, we look back, when they go to Melbourne, players can't enter a stadium unvaccinated. So, let's look back at last year when you talk about the Swans and the Roosters. There was that a potential COVID case at a cafe that they share. I mean, these guys do live sort of, not so much train, but they are very much, from day to day spending time in the same areas across two separate codes with different rules.
It's an absolutely fascinating story. It's an amazing how this has all unfolded. The last 2 years that we've been in, and now we get to an absolute watershed moment. I'm going to say the NRL's policy is actually no policy, like in a roundabout way.
I'll
stand by. I think they are just sitting back and are not declaring policy. It's a bit like when you get to federal elections and some hold their cards back. I say they are just treading water at the moment. Wayne Bennett signing with the Dolphins yesterday. I said at the top of the program, Michelle, I can't live, and I'm certainly going to be backed up by Alana, I can't live without Wayne Bennett doing press conferences on a weekly basis next year. What are we going to do?
It's certainly every journalist in Sydney looks forward to his pre-game press conferences here in Sydney. He's always going to come up with something. If it was a slow news day, you'd sort of say to yourself, well, all right, Bennett speaking, we'll be right. There's no problems there. But look, he'll start assembling his roster. And I was actually right. I did say a 4-year deal, not the two that was being spoken about. So 2025, he'll be 75 before that runs out. And he says basically that he wants to have a competitive roster straight away, so in 2023, but it's not guaranteed, obviously, but it's vital that he gets a strong platform in place. So $9.5 million to spend, marquee players, he's noted, will be his priority. His dream, of course, is, I guess, like every NRL club, to take the six-year-old all the way through the system, the Dolphins system, and see them become NRL players. Now, we've discussed Queensland Origin stars Cameron Munster, Harry Grant, and, of course, Big Tino know, being targeted. But Harry Grant appears to be spoken for. The Storm have already been in touch with Grant's camp and made plans with him and made it be known that they will take up an option in his contract for 2023. So I gather that means Grant's you know, big line ruled through there in terms of the Dolphins. And another player that won't be going there in 2023 is the Panthers' Paul Momorowski. If he was ever on Bennett's radar, he's actually agreed to a three-year deal at the Roosters from next season. I actually still can't get my head quite around this, whether this is a salary cap. I haven't sort of spoken to anybody at the club. I did, you know, hear that this was happening. I haven't spoken with Paul, but yeah, a bit of a weird one, a bit of left of field.
He's had off seasons with two teams season after season. Now he's changed again back to where he made his debut. It's a most interesting career path he's
had.
We'll
put it out there. There's nothing, no issue with the team or teammates. You know, he's quite popular there at the Panthers, as far as I was aware. So, yeah, like he's obviously just taking up another opportunity and going to create a bit of competition there with the Chooks.
By the way, there's a big text from Parramatta, but one of the points he's made, I'll get to the other point shortly, but he does say that why don't we offer Wayne a weekly spot on The Breakfast Show? I mean, we probably don't have the budget. He loves the coin. Oh, who doesn't? But there you go. A breakfast segment with Wayne Bennett. Don't think it's going to happen. Good suggestion, though.
Breakfast with one. Bennett. I can see it now.
Yeah, breakfast with Bennett. Breakfast with old Longneck. Wayne's dear. World.
You'd
Wayne's
have to
World.
Shout.
What a segment. There's the segment. Wayne's World with Wayne Bennett.
Oh.
That's it. Okay, we'll talk about New South Wales trying to steal the Melbourne Grand Prix. Great idea. We'll talk about that next hour. You've taken the Ken Oath. You're off and running on a Friday morning, Michelle. Well done.
Good morning. Pumped as.
Hey, by the way, New South Wales or Queensland on Origin night, where did you grow up?
Where did I grow up?
Yeah.
New South Wales.
Well, yeah.
Blue through and through.
There's no doubt. You're not closet Queenslander.
Abs. Not a question about that at all. Blew okay. through my veins.
We're just checking. Our listeners are on the case here today. Going to check with everyone, our producer, everyone.